Good morning, class. Welcome to week 8, day 1 of whatever this course is. What's it called? Help me out. Internet Fundamentals. Excellent. Computer and Internet Fundamentals. So today we're going to talk a little bit about the basics of web pages, HTML. We're going to need to use FTP. We're going to be looking at creating a live website. I have an account on a system at Algonquin that they use for teaching. And so some of this may be familiar to you guys. Some of this may be entirely new. And we may find that there's some linkage with the material we cover today with some networking concepts. And I'm hoping you guys are going to raise your hand and point out to me when there's a link to a networking concept. So, let's start off. This is a one-off lecture, so we'll be doing things a little bit differently than perhaps you might be used to. I'm going to fire off a request to a website just to confirm it's working. I have my goodbye message, and I have my probably my hello message. I've got a hello world message on a website. And the question is, we'd like to see how all that works. So my objective today is to give you, some of you, as I say, may be familiar with this, but my objective is to give you an overview of how the process works when, not from so much from the networking perspective, but when a client goes to a web page, requests a web page, how does that all work? And certainly this is a topic that could cover many hours, so I'm not expecting to cover absolutely every aspect, but I am hoping to give you a sense of the flavor and show you that some things can be done quite simply. So Algonquin has a site called algonquinhosting.ca. I have an account on that system. So I'm going to log into that right now. And hopefully use the right password to get in. I don't know if any of you maintain your own websites. Hands up if you do. So I've got maybe a handful of people at most. So we have a web page at algonquinhosting.ca that helps you maintain your website. I'm going to go to the home link, and this Plesk desktop from Parallels is something that is used fairly commonly by a certain number of ISPs. In this website I have, and I have to be careful how big I make things so I can still see everything I need to see, I have one domain that I own, netlabtest@algonquinhosting.ca. So I'm going to go there. And I have a certain number of tasks that I can perform. I've got icons that let me take care of all of those. But one of the things, again, because this is a teaching site, it's not a full-blown proper domain that is known across the Internet. So I have to go through this to find the URL and go to a site preview, which I'm going to do right now. Click on Site Preview. And I get my Hello World page. And I want to see how that's done. So we're going to start off by looking at a simple file called index.html. You can see that on the screen now. You're going to find that if you go to any website, Google.ca, CNN.com, CBC News, by default, if you just name the site, automatically the web server says you have not made any specific request, so I'm going to get you a document called index.html. And that is a special name, it's reserved. And in there, you're going to want to see some HTML, because that is the protocol, the language that is used by web browsers. not for the transfer, but for the display of content. And you're going to see here, this is the pretty much the smallest, simplest web page I can possibly design. I start with a tag, and the tag is identified by an angle bracket opening and an angle bracket closing. And inside are particular words. For example, HTML specifies that this is not a JPEG image. It's not a script. It's going to be some HTML, hypertext markup language. And then I get some words that I want to put on the page. But please understand, there's a whole bunch of formatting commands, and simply having the text does not describe how I want it to look. It just says, what letters, what words do I want? But again, no information about how I want it to look. And always, we're going to find a few exceptions, but I'll start off by saying always, every tag that we start with, we have the same tag that we say, we're done, we're now complete. There's no more of that. So I have my closing tag, which is slash, meaning the end of HTML. There, I have a start and I have a beginning to my HTML. That's my simplest possible web page. Is that good enough? Or do we want something more interesting? Wow. Linux is what I'm using. I go into the VI editor, and it knows, it understands HTML, so it's going to color code it for me. Pretty neat. What would we like that to say? This is pre-lab number one for your course. It must be done before. We want that to be in bold. So we want the word before, but we want it in bold. So we need a tag. We're going to come along and say one option for getting bold text is to do a simple B. B for bold. Hey, that's a great plan. What would I do for italics now? I. And what would I do for underlining? Are you sure? How are we going to find out? Before. Do you notice what my VI editor did right away for that, those words? It understands HTML. Am I finished bolding? Well, before. So I'm going to put slash B. The B business is done. Before your italics, next. Lab, underline, period. Finish the underlining. So this is the word processor. This is the editor doing its best to show you bolding. Italic didn't do a terribly good job, but that's fine. I mean, I'm going to recognize that. And I've got underlining. Now, is this truly the way people create web pages? Are they going to go into a VI editor? Fat chance. But the point I wanted to show you guys is that some of this is quite simple and straightforward. There's nothing magic, and there are tools that make it that much easier. What you see is what you get. But those fancy tools are doing nothing more than inserting codes such as this. If you press Control B in your word processor, you get bold text. If it knows it's going to export that to HTML, it just puts in a B tag. All right, so I've got a much more interesting web page now. How do I get it to my website? Well, we need to upload. Is it upload or download? I'm a little bit confused. Upload. You're sure of that? And I can tell Professor Allen that there's no ambiguity, and if you get it wrong, you should lose marks if you don't know the difference between upload and download. Because where's the server? The server is the one hosting my web page. All right. So we find amongst my options in this particular control set, do you see the option for SSH accounts? Do you happen to notice it for SSH accounts?
No.
No. All right. What other options do I have for transferring a file here? Where is FTP? Is that secure? Or can anybody who is sniffing the wire, any point between my computer and the final host, can they catch my password and my account? All right. Why am I mentioning this? Am I just trying to promote networking fundamentals? Or was there a little bit about computer security? So if you were any kind of serious organization, there's no way you want to be running FTP to transfer your files. However, what I will say is this is the framework that I'm given, so I'm going to work within it. However, let's just try. SSH, algonquinhosting.ca. Do we know how to use SSH? Do we know how to use Telnet? Do we know how to use FTP? Do we know how to use ping? How far am I getting? Is there a chance that we could analyze this traffic to see what is not working? If I ran, what would I run? What utility? Wireshark. Wireshark. Would I expect to see some packets, frames going out? Yes. And if I never receive an answer, what does that tell me? It means the other side's not responding. So, how far am I getting? Not very far at all. It turns out I'm forced to absolutely use FTP. So that's what we're going to use. I'm going to log in. Read the screen, folks. What am I dealing with? Who am I talking to? And therefore, what are my capabilities going to be? Read the screen. Let me make it even easier for you. I'm talking to FTP, but what kind of computer am I talking to? Windows NT. That kind of sucks, doesn't it? Oh, well, we'll deal with that. What's the command under Windows to get a listing of all the files? But the truth is, am I actually running DOS right now, or am I running the FTP protocol? See what happens if I do the Unix LS. Do I get a listing as well? So am I really talking Windows, DOS, or am I talking FTP? I'll be obviously talking FTP. All right, key directories. And again, I'm not expecting that this is the only time you'll ever hear about this. I'm expecting Professor Allen will have some sort of review or pull it together. What might I fit into HTTP docs? HTML documents. Is this going to be identical on every single system the way it's configured? And the answer is no. You're going to have some variability. So you've got to read. And from what you've learned in this course and networking fundamentals, I'm hoping you're going to be able to take an educated guess, as I did a few days ago, to say, what do we got? What else do you see that you can help me with? I'm not saying you understand everything, but I'm saying, is there nothing else that you can understand? There must be something. Come on, give it to me. There are, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 directories. I've picked off one of them. Find me another one. Thank you, HTTPS documents. So if I connect instead of to http://, if I go to HTTPS, this is where it's going to look. All right, excellent, Phil. Another one I want. What would this look like? Anonymous FTP. You have a web server. You say to people, oh, well, don't forget, if you've got a great YouTube video here, you can upload it. Anonymous FTP. Does FTP need a password and an account? Yes or no? There's only one correct answer. Yes, always. However, there's something special about it. Again, we're going to remember, if this is enabled, anonymous FTP, the account will be anonymous, spelled correctly, because if you don't spell it correctly, it's not going to work. And the password, typically they're requesting you to put in your email. All right, there's another one we're going to look at this morning, CGI bin. We'll get there in a minute, but let's go to HTTP docs. How do I get there? You've had this in networking fundamentals. CD, change directory to HTTP doc. Is it working? I didn't spell it right. Is it a problem with the computer or is it a problem with me? Yeah, okay. User, Anders M. It logged me out because I pressed Control C. So I'm going to get back in. CD HTTP docs. If I spell it correctly, I get the answer. You've seen this in your lab earlier. Directory. Ha! There we go. There's my index.html. Put index.html from where? Before I do that, let's ask the local change directory or local current directory. I'm going to ask for dot, which means current directory, wherever I'm at. I'm now in home Michael. That's not where my file is. On my local computer, my local hard disk, I want to go into the documents. And then I want to go into CST 8182. And then I want to go into projects. Whoops. I need to make sure it's local. And now I have a chance of putting index.html because that matches. Where was I creating that? In a particular directory. I've done a local on my machine, change directory, so I'm pulling from that same directory up to the appropriate directory, HTTP docs. It hasn't changed. Oh, refresh. Are you sure? Did it work? So I did a refresh, I got my new page, it worked. I have my bolding, I have my italics, I have my underlining. So again, don't get bogged down in the details. Think about the overall process. I have a domain, a website. I possibly have some sort of control panel where I administer it. I create some files, whether it's in an editor that I can really see what's going on, or whether it's some sort of web page composing tool, and most word processors can export to HTML files. I need to upload those from the correct directory where the files were put to the correct directory. Are we good? And sure, there's lots of stuff that we can memorize, but I'm not going to worry about that just yet. All right. What else do we have here? I'm going to do a directory. Oh, what do you know? Linux is smart enough, it even understands directory. I've got a script. hello.pearl. You guys haven't been taught Perl yet, have you? Is that an issue? You guys are programmers, computer programmers. Let's have a quick walk through this. Very simple Perl program. And the web server, by the way, knows about a certain number of languages. It knows about a language called Perl. It knows about PHP and some other one. So instead of just a simple static output, I want to be able to program, to do something dynamic. So here's a script. Commonly, you're going to find if you're running some sort of a script, the first line is going to be a location of the interpreter, the compiler, the program that knows how to take your source code and run it. We find often that we're going to get some sort of message about what kind of content is coming at the browser. Whether it's simple text, whether it's a movie, a JPEG image, something like that. So you may or may not find at the very beginning a message called content type with a description of what's coming. Have you ever seen that in your browser where you have to adjust that? Where you specify the application that will handle a certain type of content. And, sir, I'm going to say you can forego today because this is the exact same class that you saw on Friday. Sorry, I didn't realize that when I saw you on Friday. You'll see me where?
In B.
This is the exact same class that I have in B at 11. So, sorry about that. Mr. Corson wants to remind you to get your votes in for the student board of directors by noon today, or bad things will happen to you. Okay. Then we get to the real code here. Print. What on earth could that possibly do? Go figure it. The point that I'm trying to make by going through some of this is to give you the idea that sometimes you're going to hit something that you may not have seen before, but have a look, read it, see what you can find. We have a marker. I'm going to explain. It says, read everything until you hit a symbol again. So we chose a three-letter symbol that's not likely to be in our message, EOF, capitals. And when we ever hit that again, that means that's the end of the print statement. So it's getting input for the print statement between those two symbols. We have the redirection symbol, take it from. Do we notice, do we recognize this tag? Yeah, HTML. Do we have the matching end tag? Sure we do. We have another tag, head. Could that be short for heading? Sure it can. And again, do you know these ahead of time? No. Could you look them up on Google? Absolutely. But hopefully you're going to find that the tag names are pretty descriptive. Title, that might go where? We'll have a look at this later on. Title, what kind of a title is that? We're going to want to find that later on. End title and end heading. We then get to a main body. Oh, we can have subsections in an HTML web page. All right, body. Do we have the matching end body? Absolutely. We have, as in a word processor, styles. Have you heard of cascading style sheets? CSS. We have a style. As per any definition that may exist for heading level 1, heading level 2, heading level 3, heading level 4, do whatever needs to be done to this text to make it stand out as a section heading and a first level, very important heading. So we get our hello world. And then we have the end of the first print statement. Next, I have print again. Have you guys done some scripting in Linux?
Yeah.
Basic. Do you recognize the back single quote? Have you covered that yet? Back single quote means, don't use these letters forming this word. It means run this as a command. And it will generate some output. And whatever output that this command generates, that's what I want you to be printing. You can use this under Linux or Unix. It also exists in most other scripting and programming languages. All right? So we're going to run a command, vir, to get the exact version of the operating system, because we already know that it's Windows, because we saw that when we logged in. And then we're going to print, lastly, a whole bunch of stuff until we hit a matching symbol and a file, so we get the concluding body and HTML closing things, closing tags. Let's have a quick look. What was that called? Hello.pl? All right, so I'm going to go up to my URL. I can't expand that very easily. Did I have a specifier after the domain site? netlabtest.algonquinhosting.ca. No. Let's try index.html. Did it change? No, it was already there. It's the same thing that I got whether or not I specified index.html. Because if I don't specify anything, what is the default? index.html. All right, leading you down the garden path. Why don't we change that to hello.perl, hello.pl. Didn't work.
Did you upload it?
I uploaded it before the lecture. It is there. What's the difference here, folks? Page number one was static, dead, unchanging HTML. What am I trying to do now with this Perl thing? Run a script, a program. Do we have a little bit of a security issue if we just let anything be anywhere, could be runnable? We want to make sure one of the considerations is, let's make sure we know that programs are programs. So what we're going to do is we're going to have another look at our set of directories. And see if we can find something. HTTP docs, HTTPS, secure docs. And then the other one we want is CGI. Common Gateway Interface. Now, I'll be honest, gateway, some sort of way of communicating. All right. Common Gateway Interface, whatever you spit out of your program gets sent as the web page. Any program that generates output will make it appear as a web page. That's the directory it's in. Now, some systems will call that CGI. Some systems will call it CGI bin. I can't guarantee you anything. So, CGI bin. Did I have to specify HTTP docs to get my index page? No. Guess what? I have to specify CGI bin. CGI dash bin. So let me get reconnected again. CD CGI bin. Do I have a Perl script? Let's make a link or go browse to cgi-bin/hello.perl. Do we have it? Is that my script? What version am I running? I don't know. Let's find out. Windows. And on a good day, I'll get an answer from Google. If I still have my network connection, which I think I do. Right, well, we'll come back to that. Ah, there we go. Aha! I think it's probably a good chance that it's Windows version 2003, patch level 5.2.3790. Why do I care? Every system has vulnerabilities. If I'm a hacker, what am I now going to start targeting? Windows Server 2003, patch to kernel level 5.2.3790. Interesting. Is that a little bit of a security concern? All right. Let's move on now. I'm in here editing my program. What else? What other commands might I like to run in DOS? How about the date command? And we may have to make sure we spell everything properly. Print ifconfig. How's that one? What do you guys think of those commands? Whoops. Ipconfig. This is Windows, not Linux. Ipconfig. Yes. Bonus marks for the young lady up front. Well done. Any other commands you guys would like to run? Something that will reformat the computer. Okay, good. Hold that thought, will you?
Test the security.
Test the security. Right. Do we have to think about security right now? Oh, yeah. For only $25 a month, you can host your website on my service, and you get full scripting capability. And for $25 a month, if I'm not thinking about security, yes, you can reformat the hard drive. All right. There's a quick little one. I'll flip over here, make sure that my local directory is suitable so I can pull it from the right place on my... Whoops. Let's make sure we're into the right place. So on the server, I want to change directories to CGI bin. And on my local computer, I want to go into the location that actually has my documents. And I want to put hello.perl. How did that go? Successful or not? All right. And it was so fast, the system said, you know, that was just the blink of an eye. It was done in almost 0 seconds. All right. How do we get the page? It hasn't changed. Refresh. Can I understand all that? Help me out. Well, all I see is one great big line. What did I say about the tags? The tags determine how something looks. The text, anything you put in without tags, is going to get formatted any way the browser feels like it. So everything's on one line. It's not quite what I want. Can I find all the parts? Can you find the version command? Is it still there? Can you find the output of the date command? And then, something interesting. I'd like to see basically all the network settings with ipconfig. And what does it say? What does it say? Access is denied. What happened there? I ran a command. The system ran it and said, your result is, I am not going to let you run this. And that was the output from the system. And so what does CGI faithfully do with that output, telling me that the system is not going to run it? It sends it off as part of the web page. Are we together? So, have other people thought about security concerns with being allowed to run any command? All right. So, again, we would need to read the documentation, find out what system, whether it's Windows or Linux or Unix or what have you, what system is the hosting provider running? What does it allow me to do? Can we clean this up a little bit? Sure. Let's do that. Do I want all of those three things, despite that they're three totally separate commands, do I want them all on the same line? So, as an example, is there a tag that lets me separate things? Break. Well, a break is a break. There's no beginning, there's no end. So, it's an exception to my rule. I'm starting it, and I'm finishing it. That's all there is to it. So, we find out in computers, every rule has exceptions. Do you think that's going to work? Let's try it. There's no better way. And computer's timed out. Or the connection's timed out. There's a very short timeout on this connection. So we're now in the correct local client directory and server directory. So I'm going to put hello.perl. Again, it sent it up, and the web page hasn't changed. Hit refresh. Whoops. Bad gateway. Web server received an invalid response while acting as a gateway or proxy server. I hadn't seen that one before. Let's back up and see if our index page is still working. Yes. Let's find out what's wrong there. I'm quite sure that's the right tag, but I'm going to use a different one, paragraph, an end paragraph, start a new paragraph, and end the paragraph. Upload, let's try that one. What's going on? Does anybody see something I don't? I'm going to go back to what I had originally. All right, so what am I doing wrong here, folks? Oh. All right. What did I do wrong? is this HTML or is it a program? It's a program, isn't it? Is the tag break, is that Perl code? Oops. So what did the Perl interpreter say? It's not a Perl statement. So what do I need in front here? Print. Is that going to work better, maybe? Break. All right. If I have the syntax correct, yeah, okay, don't have Perl installed locally, so let's try it one more time. Ha. There we go. Did I get it? So if it's a program, I have to make sure I've got program statements, not HTML. Do I have the time? 10:42 a.m. Access is denied. I have everything on a separate line. 10:43. Is this a dynamic web page running with a program behind it? Think of any program you've written. If it generates output, text output, it can now be coming up on a web page. What am I missing? What's the other half of the equation? I said if you've written any program that produces text output, you can get it coming out as a web page. What's the other half of that equation? Come on, the word's output. Input. All right. There's two methods of getting input. And again, you're going to hear this again later with Professor Allen, but I just thought it doesn't hurt to hear it. Input, there's two methods. One method is called post, and the other method is called, what is it? Put? No, get? I forget. So one method sends your input to the program as standard input, and you can just use any old read statements. And the other method puts your input, anything you typed in, as a great big long string in an environment variable. Have you guys worked with environment variables yet? Yep. Rod has, as part of a course at Algonquin. COBOL. You've worked with environment variables in COBOL? I'm not sure you have. All right. So the difference between the two methods is how your input is strung together, because it all goes as one chunk. So that's not a topic I want to try and address in the next 5 minutes. But here the idea is, what have we covered today? HTML, the general rule. You have tags, and for generally, for every starting tag, there is always a matching end tag. Did we find in the index, when we went to our hello world, did we find our title and heading? I'm not sure we did. I wanted to make sure we saw that. Index.html. Too late. Let's put in a title. So we now have a title. H
HTTP docs. Find this is a test on the screen. Title bar. So anything that you put with the HTML tag title ends up here. Dash. What else? Name of the browser. That is the operating system that wants to tell you the name of the browser. It's the title bar. It's the name of the program, always, isn't it? You fire up any program, you're going to get the title bar saying that, right? So here on my terminal, I have a different title, but it's the program's title. So HTML tags, hopefully you're going to agree with me that they're sensible. The people who made the decisions on what tags meant what were making sensible decisions. B is for bold, I, italic, U, underline. We've got heading levels, and so on and so forth. When we have our HTML document, we have to put it in the right location. And that location is going to be different from where we put programs, because programs and documents are very different things. Are we together? CGI, and in this case, the CGI bin or binary directory, is where we put programs, and we have this really neat system that it takes. It's possible to take anything you put on an input form and have that supplied as input, the same as you would type it to your program, and your program can put output the same as you would type on the screen, and that will appear on your web page. But in your program, you must remember to generate the correct, starts with a T, tags, so that the HTML client, the browser, knows how to display things. Ben, keep it public. Have you learned something today? If you haven't learned anything, you have to stay here for the next hour and contemplate it. Otherwise, go to your next class, wherever that is, and don't be late. Thank you very much.